The next day he goes to another town and begs. Then he goes to a different place farther away. And sometimes he has to stay overnight, and he doesn't see his family until the next day. And then he goes farther away, and he comes home for Shabbos. He's away a whole week, begging. And then it came the winter time, freezing cold and snow, and he has to go through the snow and the ice and the mud to go begging. And this is the way it went for a few months, but he still went on and did it. And he thinks to himself, this is the bracha of a tzaddik. It can't just go on like this forever. There's got to be a bracha here. And he did say that I will become an innkeeper someday, a hotel man. And Yankel just kept on. And one day, this is what happened. It was a freezing, cold winter day, like today. But there was a lot of ice and snow outside. Outside is not so much ice and snow, but it's freezing cold. And Yankel saw a little kretschme, a Yiddish hotel. And he says, I've got to go in there to warm up. I'm freezing. Yankel goes into the hotel. He comes in and he sees there's a stove, like a big heater kind of stove, in the middle of the kretschme. And he climbed up on top of the stove. It's not exactly like the top of our stove, that there's frying pans and chinix and pots of boiling stuff, but that kind of a stove had wood burning in it, and on top it wasn't burning, it was warm, and he was able to climb up on top and lie down and warm himself up a little bit, and he felt, Baruch Hashem, much better. All of a sudden, Yankel sees, coming into the hotel, two very important, wealthy-looking businessmen, Jewish businessmen. And they sit down by a table, and the hotel man sees these two important-looking people, rich people coming in, and he runs over to take care of them himself, instead of just having his workers take care of them. And they order a big, delicious meal. And the hotel man runs to the kitchen and he brings them this very delicious, big meal. Yankel looks at that meal. He didn't see a meal like that in a long time. Even the meal that we have, Yankel didn't see in a long time. But the meal that these two businessmen ordered in the hotel, oh boy, was it delicious. And Yankel was just watching from on top of the stove how they were eating this delicious food. And Yankel wished he could also have some food, but he couldn't afford it. And the hotel man kept serving them different things and drinks and this and that. And then he sat down with them and they started talking. And Yankel could hear the conversation. Not that he was spying or eavesdropping or something, but he was just listening in because he was right there. Shh! The hotel man had seen him come in, and he didn't mind that Yankel was on top of the stove. And the hotel man asks where they're from, what are they doing? And they say like this, we are two businessmen in cattle, in cows. We buy cows from Poritzes, because Poritzes many times raise a lot of cows. And we buy them and then we sell them. We sell them to places that shecht cows. We sell them to farmers that use cows for milk or cows to work or whatever cows are used for. These are two big cow businessmen, or you might call them cowboys, but they weren't really cowboys. They were cowmen. And we came into this area to do business in cows. Shh. Our biggest customer, our biggest client, our biggest person that we go to get cows is the Poritz of this area. He is a very rich Paretz, and he has thousands and thousands of cows. And every year, we go to him for our biggest business deal of the whole year to buy cows. The only problem is, this Paretz is very moody. This Paretz is very moody and very mean. And if he's in a good mood, we can do a good business deal. If he's in a bad mood, we don't get a very good business deal. And we were just by him today, and we got no business deal. Nothing at all. He was in such a bad mood, he didn't even want to do business with us. In fact, he told us we have to do something, or else we cannot even go back to his castle to do business. And the hotel man was talking with them a little bit. Yes, he knows the Paretz. He's very mean. And he was just curious. What did the Paretz want you to do before he does cow business with you? And they say like this. The Paretz has a hotel. His own hotel. The hotel man had known about that hotel. It was a very nice hotel a few miles away. This is the Poritz's special hotel. And the Poritz is very upset. He cannot get anybody to take care of that hotel. The Poritz says, he's got a certain hotel very far away, which is a very big hotel, an excellent hotel, the best hotel in the whole area. But he does not have anybody to take care of that hotel. And he tried different people and different hotel owners, and he had to fire them because they kept messing up this and messing up that, and nobody was taking good care of his hotel. And one time, the Poritz was by a party with other Poritzes, and they were all bragging about their hotel workers that take care of the hotels. And they said to this Poritz, if you want a good hotel man, you have to have a Jew. A Jew knows how to run a hotel in the right way. You get yourself a Jew, and he'll take good care of your hotel, and he'll make you a lot of money. So get a Jew. That's the only way to do it. Their Poritz friends at parties would brag about their, they would call them Moishke. They would call any Jew Moishke. My Moishke takes care of my hotel. And the other ones say, my Moishka takes care of my hotel better than your Moishka takes care of your hotel. And the third part would say, your two Moishkas are nothing compared to my Moishka who takes care of my hotel. He makes so much money for me. And this Paretz never had a Moishka in his hotel. He had a little Mashka here and there, but no Moishka. And now he thinks, as long as I have Mashka, I better get a Moishka too. Because that way I'll make a lot of money on my hotel. But he could not find a Moishke to take care of his hotel because people knew this Paretz to be very mean, very moody, and very not nice to work for, so they would rather work somewhere else. And then the Paretz that day was in a very not good mood because he didn't have a Moishke to take care of his hotel. And that's the day the two cowboys came to the Poritz's castle to do cow business. And the Poritz got a good plan. He says to the two cowboys, no business today until you bring me a Moishke to take care of my hotel. You get me a Moishke, we'll drink some Mashke, and then we'll do cow business. Because, you know, the Poritz liked to drink Mashke before he did cow business. Shh. And the two cowboys said, well, we don't know any hotel owners or hotel workers that want to take over your hotel. We're not sure we can find you somebody. Well, the Poritz said, too bad. No Moishke, no cow business. Now go and find me a Moishke. And that's what brought the two cowboys to the hotel, because first of all, they're very hungry after all of that, And second of all, you know, they have to get a room in the hotel because they have to stay around there for a while. They have to find a moishke for the parrots. Not parrots. His name was not parrots. And they're talking to the hotel man. Do you know any Jew that would be able to be a hotel man? The parrots even said, he'll take anybody, anybody at all. And all of a sudden, the hotel man looks up on top of the oven. Now, who was on top of the oven? Keeping warm at the hotel. Who was there? Anybody remember who was up there? Let's go over here. Who was up there?
Yanko.
Yanko the mud man. The former mud man. Okay, now, Yanko was up there, and the hotel man, this hotel man, let's not get mixed up. The hotel man and this kretschme who's taking care of the two cowboys looks up at Yanko on top of the oven, this beggar, and he thinks to himself, maybe this beggar man would make a hotel man. After all, the poritz is not too choosy who he wants. And Yanko happened to be listening to all of this. And of course, he was very excited, not just because, well, maybe he won't be a beggar anymore, but what did Reb Moshe Leib of Sasev tell to Yanko that he should hopefully be after being a beggar?
A hotel man.
A hotel man. This was mentioned in the bracha of Reb Moshe Leib of Sasev. And all of a sudden, it looks like a door is opening up for Yanko to go through. And Yanko climbs down from the oven, and he sits down, or maybe he stands up. I don't know if he was invited to sit down. Hopefully he was, after all. And the two cowboys are looking Yanko up and down. What's your name? My name is Yanko. What do you do? Well, I'm a beggar. You've always been a beggar? No, I used to be a mud man, but my two horses died, and, you know, I didn't have any way to make a living as a mud man, so I became a beggar. Yanko, do you think you could be a hotel man? Yeah, I think so. I would like to do that. Well, you're not going to be a hotel man if you're dressed in those clothes. We have to get you new clothes, Yanko. Well, I don't exactly have any money for new clothes. No, don't worry. We'll take care of it. Well, we have to explain to you how to be a hotel man. But you look pretty hungry. That's right. Well, sit down and we'll order you a meal. They order Yanko a beautiful, big, delicious meal that Yanko has not seen probably in who knows how long. And he sits down. Of course, he washes. And he makes his brachas and he eats. And now the two cowboys say, Yanko, we are going to call the tailor. Anybody know what a tailor is? What's a tailor? What is a tailor?
A person that sews.
A person that sews. Very good. The tailor. Okay, they call the tailor. And they measure Yanko, his arms and his legs and all around. They're going to make Yanko some nice clothing. Some nice suits. He's got to look good to go to the Poritz to be the hotel man. Or maybe they're going to make him special hotel man clothes. And now the tailor measures Yanko, how, you know, all the different ways to make the suit. And the cowboys say, when will the suits be ready? Well, it's going to take a few days. Yanko says, what'll I do for a few days to wait for the suits? And the cowboys say, well, you'll stay in the hotel. I don't have any money to stay in the hotel. Don't worry, we'll get you a room. They get Yanko a beautiful room. And Yanko now has a beautiful room. And of course, the two cowboys have to be there in the hotel because they can't go to the Poritz to do business before they bring him the hotel man. And Yanko is not ready to be a hotel man until he gets his clothes, right? And so Yanko has three delicious meals a day. He sleeps in a nice bed. He's nice and warm instead of being a beggar outside in the snow. Finally, the clothes are ready. And Yonkel gets dressed up in the beautiful clothes, and he looks, of course, very, very good. And now the two cowboys take Yonkel to the Poritz. And the Poritz is still in a bad mood. Why is the Poritz still in a bad mood? Why was he in a bad mood before? He's still in a bad mood.
Because he didn't have that for the hotel.
He didn't eat that delicious pizza and corn that you have on your plate? He didn't get his what? Yeah, he had his mashke. Okay, I'm giving you a hint. He had his mashke, but he didn't have something else. What didn't he get yet?
He didn't get his mashke.
He didn't get his moishke. Or you said mushke? He didn't have a mushke, and he had mashke, but now he didn't get a moishke. And now the two cowboys are bringing him his moishke, who happens to be Yonkel, who used to be the mudman. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Rappaport said, we can finish today or not? I don't know how much time I need. I never know how much time these things take. It depends. If we go on a thing, you know, okay, we'll finish. Okay, fun day. Rabbi Rappaport is pulling out the plug. And after a few days, the tailor brought the beautiful clothes, and Yonkel put on the clothes. Boy, did he look like a mensch. He looked so nice. Because over these few days, he was eating well, and sleeping and drinking, sleeping in a bed instead of outside, who knows where. And of course, he was able to rest, and he looked very good. And now, they go to the Poritz's castle, the two cowboys and Yonkel, the mud man, and they knock on the door, and the Poritz comes to the door, and all of a sudden he gets in a good mood. Oh, the two cowboys, did you bring me a Jew to take over the hotel? Yes, we did. His name is Yonkel. He would like to be your hotel man. Oh, the Poritz was in a good mood. And he brings Yonkel and the two cowboys into his special room, and they talk, and he sees Yonkel is a very good man. And he says, Yonkel, let's travel to the hotel. You should see the new place you're going to be and your new job for the hotel man. And the two cowboys and Yonkel and Poritz, they travel in the wagon to go to the brand new hotel. And the Yonkel says, this is fine. I'll be your hotel man with Hashem's help. Oh, the Poritz says, that's wonderful. Do you have a family? Yes, I have a wife and kids. The Poritz takes out a nice bag of gold. This is to pay all the expenses to bring your family from wherever you live to the new hotel. And of course, you'll have a nice place to live in the new hotel as well as taking care of it. And now come back to the castle, because it's time to do cow business. Ah, the two cowboys got excited because this is what they wanted, to do cow business. And they did excellent cow business, better than ever before. And the two cowboys made a lot of money. And now, Kenalach, Yonkel gets ready to leave to go get his family. And the Poritz says, by the way, Yonkel, if you do a good job in your hotel, I'm so happy that I have a hotel man now. I will not make you pay rent for 3 years. Oh boy, 3 years, no rent. That's wonderful. And money from my family, that's wonderful. And now they leave the castle. The two cowboys are ready to go where they have to go. Yonkel's going to go home to get his family. But now the two cowboys, they take out also a bag of gold, because they wanted to give Yonkel money because he did them such a favor. Because if not for Yonkel, they wouldn't have been able to do the cow business. So now Yonkel has two bags of gold. One to take his family, to bring his family to the new hotel, and the other as payment from the two cowboys because they helped him with the cow business deal. And Kenalach, Yonkel brought his family to the hotel. And they had enough money to buy nice things for themselves, clothes and things. Of course, they get stuck it. And Yonkel took very, very good care of the hotel. And of course, people came to stay in the hotel. There was delicious food and nice rooms, and Yaakov was very nice to people. He made the Poritz a lot of money. He didn't have to pay rent for 3 years. And the Poritz was so happy with Yaakov, the way he took care of his hotel. After a few years, he made Yaakov his... He made Yaakov his chief helper over his whole estate, which means Yaakov was not only taking care of the hotel, he took care of the Poritz's fields and his different businesses and his different stores and all kinds of things that the Poritz did with houses and his lands and his lakes and the fishing on the lakes and the forests and all these Poritz business things. Yaakov was in charge, and Yaakov became a very wealthy man. And he never forgot about when he was poor, so he also took care of poor people and gave a lot of Yidden jobs. And whatever happened to the two cowboys, I'm sure good things happened with them too. They went home. And Kenalach, that is the end of the story. As we see, the bracha of Reb Moshe Leib Sasse finally came true. And we see also that sometimes things go down for a while. But why do they go down? Why is there a Yerida, L'Seirech Aliyah? Things get better with Hashem's help. All right, this is a very good Dvar Teda, because we just learned about the Mishkan and the base of Mikdash and all the things that were in there, and we're also learning Parshas Noyak. So these two things go together. We learned about the flood. People were not happy with what they had. They always wanted more. Hashem gave them everything good. They didn't appreciate it. That's why the Mabul started on the 17th of Cheshvan. 17 is Toiv. Good. And the people still, they stole. They took away. Because they wanted more and more. Never satisfied with what they had. And we said that the Torah says in Pirkei Avos, Ezehu Asher, who is a rich person, Hasameach Bechelkoi. He's happy with what he has. That's a rich person. Whatever you have, you're happy. The Yetzirah says, you have 100? Don't be happy with 100. Only when you get 200, you're happy. Finally, you get 200. Then you could be happy with 200, but by now you say, forget about 200. I have to have 400 to be happy. 200 is not enough for me. And that's what it is. Now, we learn in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash a very interesting thing. Who remembers we learned about the Arna Kodesh? And we learned about the Shulchan. The Arna Kodesh was the beautiful golden Arna Kodesh in the Kodesh Kodashim. What was in the Arna Kodesh? The Luchos and the Sefer Torah. So the Arna Kodesh shows on Torah. Remember the crown was the crown of Torah?
Yeah.
Okay. The Arna Kodesh is the whole thing of Torah. Torah and mitzvahs. Ruchnius. Things for the neshama. What was the shulchan? What was the table? Chalas. What's chalas? Food. What is food and chalas and bread show? Gashmius. Things that a person needs. Money, and food, and clothes, and a house, and all kinds of things, and even silver and gold. Remember that? Okay, now, the Arna Kodesh is Ruchnius, and the Shulchan is Gashmius. Now, this is very interesting. Listen very closely. Let's measure the Arna Kodesh. 2.5 by 1.5. How long was it? 2.5 amis. How wide was it? 1.5. Let's measure the table, the shulchan. 2 by 1. Was it 1/2? No. 2. How long was it? two amas. How wide was it? One amma. Now, why was the Arna Kodesh 2.5 by 1.5? Why can't they make it 3? If you want to make something, why can't you make it 3? Why 2.5 by 1.5? You want to make it long? Make it 3. You want to make it wide? Make it 2. You don't want it so long and wide? Make it 2 by 1. How? What was the shulchan, the table with the chalas? 2 amas long and 1 amma wide. Why the Arna Kodesh was 2.5 by 1.5? And Rebbe, maybe they didn't have enough stuff to make it, so they had to make it a little bit smaller. No, they had plenty. They had so much stuff. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, "Stop bringing. We have enough already." The Torah says, this is a very important reason, exactly, that Hashem is showing us. He wants the Aron 2.5 by 1.5. What do we speak about by the Machzis Shekel, where there's a half? When a person gets a half, are they happy with a half, or they say, no, I want the whole thing? No. A person, the way it is by a person, and Hashem made it this way in our feeling, if you get a half of a cookie, right away you say, wait a minute, where's the other half? You get a half of a cup of soda, you say, wait a minute, why isn't it full? That's the way a person feels. If they have a half of a thing, they want the whole thing, right? This is called human nature. A person is not satisfied with a half of a thing, they want the whole thing. You get a half of a cupcake. Yeah, where's the other half? Right away, where's the other half? Now, is this good or bad?
Bad.
Ah, it depends. Now Hashem is showing us it could be good, it could be bad. Now Hashem is showing us like this. Where did he put the half? By the Arna Kodesh. By the Shulchan, by the table, he didn't put a half. Hashem is showing us like this. Where is it good to always want more? Like if you have a half, you want more. By the Arna Kodesh, which is Ruchnius, it was 2.5 by 1.5. Hashem is showing us, when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, never be satisfied. Whatever you have, it's like 2.5 by 1.5. Where's the rest of it? I need more. You always have to want more by Torah and mitzvahs. Whatever you have, it should not be enough. You should say, whatever I have, I'm not happy with, I want more. Of course, you should be happy with what you have also, but you also have to want more. I mean, don't be upset at yourself. Say, look, I did this, and I learned that, and I have mitzvahs, Baruch Hashem, and I learned Torah, but whatever I have, I'm not going to be satisfied, I want more. That is by Ruchnius. That's good by Ruchnius. But what did Hashem show us by Gashmius, by the table, with the chalas? Two... Nothing else. Just 2, not 2.5. 2, complete. By 1. Are there any halves over there?
No.
Does a person want any more over there? Or he's satisfied? It's 2. In other words, everything is fine. There's 2. I have everything here. Not 2.5 and I'm looking for 3. How wide? 1. Yeah, everything is here. In other words, Gashmius. By Gashmius. Whatever you have is enough. 2 by 1. I'm not looking for anything else. Whatever I have, it's fine. Everything is here. Everything is complete. Perfect. A person should feel that way by Gashmius. What money I have, Baruch Hashem, enough. Clothes I have, Baruch Hashem. Food I have, my house, my toys, my things. I thank Hashem for whatever I have. Baruchnius, though, no. I want more and more and more. But if you make it the opposite, that's not good. If you make the half by the table, you say, oh, I have all these toys, but I want more. I have all these clothes. I'm not happy. I want more. I have all this food. No, I want different food. I want more. A house? Well, we have this house, but I want a better house, a bigger house. I'm not happy with what I have. There's always a half, and you're always looking for the other half. That's not good. And by Torah mitzvahs, yeah, it's enough. I davened enough. I learned enough. I helped enough. It's enough. Mommy says, clean up your room, and there's a big mess. And you pick up a few things and put it on the shelf. Oh, that's enough, I did enough. Is that enough? No more. You light the Hanukkah menorah the first night, one candle. Is that enough the second night?
No.
More. You have to do